That song was made popular in the 50s, and it was published in the early 1900s. Yet we will never know the he or the she who wrote it. We will never know their name. See, that song is woven through the fabric of who we have become as a nation. It was written by a slave. By a slave who was wishing and hoping for a God. The person who wrote that song and taught it to those working in the fields of the South was afraid, because at any moment he or she could be killed for no reason at all, and there would be no punishment to the slave owner. That person also, whether he or she, knew they could be sold at any moment for no reason. Yet they believed, had faith in God. In the face of fear, the author of that song, who didn't have a life of freedom, still believed in a loving God who they had faith in. We've been studying through the book of Deuteronomy for the last few weeks, and we've talked about slavery. We've talked about wandering and actually being directionless. So I pose the question, as you and I learn about how to know who we are and know who God is and how to live that out, I pose the question this morning: what's happened in your journey that's caused you to lose faith? What's happened in your journey that's caused you to lose your faith? Now, I am going to try not to take Shannon's remarks about telling the same story 100 times. There was a reference of Grandpa, and I'm going to try not to repeat stories, but I will tell you that 41 years ago, I graduated from high school. So I've got this time reference of 40 plus years, and many of you do too, and I ask the question, what's happened to you in your 40-year journey? I joined this church 23 years ago because I was invited. I was unhappy at my other church, and I was invited by the Hester family to join this church family of faith. And I have loved almost every minute for those 23 years. I took a couple year hiatus to go to another congregation because I was searching for faith in a church that wanted to be faithful. 2 weeks ago in staff meeting, I made the comment that I'd been at First Baptist Church 23 years, and I didn't want to be sitting here 17 years from now wondering about our plan. And someone said, well, you're not that old. You can be working here for 17 more years. I said, that's not what I meant. What I mean is, I want us to be on mission. Then I sat there and I did the math. 23 plus 17 is 40. How well are we doing with our mission? How faithful are we being? How did the people who were following Moses learn to enter into the promised land? What have you learned about wandering in your own pilgrimage? What does it mean to love God and to love people? Let's go this direction. Most of us have heard our mothers talk about time and how long things take. Think about this. Have you ever heard your mother say, "What's taking so long in there?" Or maybe you've heard her say, "You're taking forever." Or maybe you've heard her say, "We've got to get going." My favorite, though, is the mother who says, whether it's in Walmart or Kroger's or the grocery store, I'm counting to three. One, two, three, four, five, and you know how the story goes. Two questions for us to consider as we look at the scripture today. One is, has God said these things to you? And more importantly, has God said these things to us as a congregation? So as we consider what the scriptures say, and as we consider how do we live out those words, we have to take note of this. Remember that everything we say and do can and may be remembered forever. Everything we say and do can and may be remembered forever. In this past 2 years, I've been making some notes about some things some of you have said about your mothers, particularly in time of loss and grief. Here are some things you've told me about your mothers. Maybe these are things your mother said to you. Maybe it's not for you. God may have something better for you. Another one of you said, learn to live through hardships, is what my mother told me. Several of you said, can't is never an option. Some of you have heard your mother say, God is still on his throne. Others have heard, love the world, or stay humble, or eat dinner together, or put God first. Here's what all these things say. They speak volumes to us about faith. Here's some things I want to say about faith. If you take matters of faith lightly, you cannot expect the comforts of faith when you need them. If you take matters of faith lightly, you cannot expect the comforts of faith when you need them. Many of us find ourselves scrambling in difficult times because we haven't practiced our faith. We also need to know this. Every generation must be diligent in sharing faith and modeling faith for the next generation. It's more about becoming than becoming a rule follower. It's important for us to recognize our responsibility to, as an older generation, is to pass that on to a younger generation. Frank and I were talking in his office this week about something he had read from The Life of a Single Mom. And it said, in America, 22 million young single mothers are raising 25 million children by themselves. Now, the million part should overwhelm us. The single mom thing should even be a bigger concern of ours. Here are some more statistics from that article. A single child is 10 times more likely to drop out of school, 5 times more likely to die of suicide, 31 times more likely to be incarcerated, and 32 more times likely to run away from home. Then we talked about a TED Talk that we had seen. And basically, the TED Talk said this about faith. 3 things to note. People are entering adulthood less religious than their parents. People are entering adulthood less religious than their parents. And by religious, the speaker was talking about their church attendance, their faith, their spirituality. So those of us who have children and grandchildren, they're entering into this world less faithful. We also need to note that older people who are more religious die out and are being replaced by a younger population of people who are less religious. Now, I have jokingly said to a number of you lately, and I'm trying not to look at anybody right in the eyes, but when you were 59, I thought you were old. But now I've changed my mind. We have to face the fact we are becoming an older generation. as a congregation and as families. It's unavoidable. But the younger generation is less religious than we ever were, and even less religious than our parents ever were. And here's another startling fact, particularly as our church sits in the middle of downtown Nashville with at this point, a fairly unpopulated faith base. People who have no religion have a great deal of difficulty acquiring one. So the importance that we have as parents, mothers, grandparents, and people who teach children in our congregation, it's important to do it now, because once they leave us, once they get into a community and may not have a community of faith to fall back on, it is harder for them to acquire faith. This week, one of my friends, who now lives in another state, sent me an email. He was knowing about the message that was going to be taught today, and here's what he included in his email. A Spanish proverb says this: an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. So as we look at the scripture today, I want us to look at the fact that our relationship to those in our families is much more important than any clergy who can stand behind this pulpit or any staff that can occupy the staff offices here at Nashville First Baptist. I'll have to tell you that every time I mention to Dr. Bird about a passage of scripture that I may be teaching on, he gets excited. I hope that when I'm in my 80s, I still have the fervor that he has about the message of faith. And when I texted him a while back and let him know about this passage, he became excited. And when we talked about it on the phone, I heard the excitement in his voice. Maybe more so even when I heard it when I was a student at Belmont. We talk about things that Deuteronomy is the second getting of the law. We talk about the fact that it's teachings, not just the law. We got excited about the fact that Moses taught to the very end of his life. And we looked at the fact that this was Moses' last sermon. It was his last song. It was his last words to a people who were struggling with faith. So today I want to read the scripture and let you follow along, whether you're in your own Bible, whether you have your device, whether you follow on the screen. First, I'll read from Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, and Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 through 20. Only take care and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And then over in chapter 30. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set you before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, and that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." There are four particular lessons that I want us to hear from the scriptures today. The first is this: faith is in your reach. Faith is within your reach. We look at verses 11 through 14 of chapter 30. We see that it's not a mountain we have to climb. It's not a sea that we have to sail. We don't need anybody else's help to go find us the faith. In other words, it's as close as our mouth and our heart. Faith is within your reach and my reach. Sometimes we let the word faith be too big of a word to try to comprehend. It's as easy as right here and right here, believing what we have heard. Secondly, love God and walk in His ways. Love God and walk in His ways. That's faith. Once again, a much simpler thing to do than sometimes we get in our heads about the difficulty of trust. It's interesting, for some years we have had the vision statement, the theme, if you will, the motto that we've lived by at church: loving God, comma, loving people. Those are synonymous. You can't love God and not love people. I had this occasion the other day. I was sitting downtown eating lunch, and I was actually preparing for a pretty difficult conversation that involved an attorney. And as I was sitting there trying to prepare myself, a homeless guy who I know, who has frequented this church, who has hung out in streets of downtown Nashville, and he knows me by name, he called me out, and he pointed to his contributor badge, which I knew that he sold the paper, and I didn't need another paper, but he stood there, and he had conversation. He knows me so well, he even knows that I like baseball, and he began to tell me about his experiences running track at Fisk and playing baseball at Fisk. In fact, he told me that he held several records, which I've not found yet, but nonetheless, he can tell me about that about next time I see him. But I immediately, in fact, had my notes in front of me of today's teachings. And he kept standing there. And I realized I have a chance to love this man or not. It felt pretty inconvenient, and it felt a little bit like I was being put on the spot, but I was being put on the spot, not by him, but by God. Because I felt God say, "Well, do you love me?" "Yes." And my next act of love to Jimmy was hopefully something that said, "I love you, and so does God." Now, I hoped he was going to show up for worship today. I didn't see him come in, and if he's here, I want to talk to you afterwards. But nonetheless, that's what God says: love me, which means loving people too. Thirdly, live exuberantly. In my simple language, that means live out loud. There is no way people are going to know our faith unless we live it out loud. That's what being exuberant means. Now, most of us who are fanatics with some sport, we do that often on Saturdays, don't we? And we do that often when the game comes on TV. How often does our spiritual life demonstrate how exuberant we are about sports? The reason we look exuberantly is because there's a future for us. There's a Jordan for us. There's a promised land that is out there for us. Fourthly, choose life and embrace it firmly. Choose life and embrace it firmly. It means we have a choice. Much like the slave in the field had a choice. to quit, to give up, or to choose life. Just because faith can disappear quickly doesn't mean that we have to as well. There are many things that rob us of our faith, that rob us of our joy, that rob us of our purpose that we talk about every week here at this church. But when we're in the middle of some struggle, sing, think about God, and exercise some faith. Somebody is watching. I discovered the other day that my name is not on the roster of the class of 1980 Antioch High School Blue Bears. I just got curious of some of my friends through doing some studies here, and I discovered that I have been omitted from the roster. Now, at first it bothered me, but not for too long. I realized probably if I paid $5, I could get on some email site, which I did. I think I actually paid the $20 and got the lifetime membership. And as soon as I loaded my material, my profile, I began to get some hits, some of my past friends. I will admit, though, for the first 10 years, I was excited to go back to a reunion. And when I went back to the reunion, I realized I'm not excited about going back anymore. This didn't do much for me. Now, clearly, this was pre-pandemic and was probably 2 decades ago, but there was one particular friend of mine from high school that I saw at the Bell Road, Bell Forge Kroger's in Antioch. And as soon as I saw her on the bread aisle, I thought, I can't do this. So I did like a lot of you men would have done. I avoided the situation, and I went to the Jell-O aisle, which is aisle 2. And as things go at Kroger's, you know, people keep doing this, winding back and forth. And so I had to skip the aisle 4, the canned vegetable aisle, because I needed not to bump into her. Finally, aisle 7, in front of the frozen pizzas, I said, Tony, you're a therapist. Deal with this. And so I said to her, in fact, I called her by name. And she looked at me like, I said, Tony Rankin from high school. I said, we were in the band together. You were in the color guard, I played tuba. I said, I was a student council president. Like that mattered. And she looked at me and said, oh, I do remember you. But I thought you were much taller than you are now. I have to tell you that when I graduated from high school, I weighed 113 pounds. So I guess she thought she was seeing double. I don't know. But it unnerved me. And so I went home and I pulled out my high school yearbook and I began to read the notes that people had written me. And I found the notes she had written me, and it said this: you are a great band captain. I will never forget our band trips. You were a great yearbook editor. You were a great student council president. And she wrote a few other things about our mutual friends, and here's how she signed her note to me. I will never forget you. You ever been there? Has it ever happened to you? For those of you who are mothers, your children have been watching. For those as a congregation, people are watching us. We have watched those before us and have learned about faith. It is so easy to lose our faith. But it is so important for us to remember that we need to be the people who show people what faith really looks like. Because there will be a day when they need that. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the scriptures, we hear Moses tell his story and encouragement and hope for the Jordan River. Father, we as individuals have wandered around this mountain long enough. We as a congregation have been talking about our plans for downtown Nashville for over 200 years. We are willing to continue the journey, but Father, now give us the faith that it takes to do what loving God and loving people really means. Father, we are never going to experience the struggle the slave did in the fields of this country. We thank you for that. But Father, when we have our own struggles, help us to look to you, because we've learned about faith and the necessary element it is to our spirituality. Father, we are grateful that you have never forgotten us. Help us never to forget you as well. For your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing an invitation. And as usual, we will stand, we'll sing, and I'll be standing down front. If you're looking for a church home, we would love you to be a part of this faith family. If you're looking for the Jesus that we sang about earlier and the hope that God gave the people of Moses, I'd love to talk to you about that. Because without that faith and without the promise of Jesus Christ, unfortunately, your faith will be shallow. I'll be standing down front. If you have a prayer request you just want to mention to me, or you want to pray at the altar, do that. Let's stand together and sing.